Well, praise the Lord. We do greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Blessing to be here to think about the coming day. That coming day, that great day that's coming. We can be face to face with our Jesus. And we can be experiencing the fulfillment of joy in His presence continually. Praise the Lord. That we're living in those days just before. Okay, may you stand with me for a word of prayer again. Almighty God, we pause before you this morning, Lord. We come to you, Lord, as a few of your children here, gathered together, looking to you as a few beggars, begging of you, O God, to come into our midst and to visit us and to minister to us this day, O God. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness and blessings to us and for the wonderful truths that we've already heard here this morning. And we just pray, Father, that you would touch each one here today. Lord, we don't have anything new to share. We don't have anything that hasn't already been said, but we believe that Your word is faithful, it's true, it's forever settled in heaven. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just want to glory in that reality this morning, that you are our God, our true and our loving, a gracious and a kind and holy God. And we just want to worship you and bless you and praise you for your goodness to us today. So, Lord, we just bow our hearts to you, and we just ask you to come into our midst, and may every heart in this building be touched, receive something to change our lives and to make us more like you, O God. We commit this day to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I want to share a very familiar passage, John chapter 4, the message here that we've heard many times already. Jesus, when he was going through Samaria, and he met this woman at the well in Samaria, and his conversation with her, and how he led her on in discussing a number of things here. She opened her heart up to Jesus, and she realized who Jesus was. He talked to her about the living water that satisfies the soul, that will be that will take away the thirst. That satisfying drink of water that we come when we come to Jesus, it satisfies, it saves, it satisfies, and it keeps our souls. That water of life, which Jesus is to us today, is praise the Lord to hear that testimony this morning of another young soul that took a drink of that water that satisfies, that water that cleanses, that water that saves the soul, that water of Jesus this morning. And then it goes on here, she sort of changes the subjects here when she talks about worshiping. She asks this question in verse 19. The woman saith to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." It says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." She was a Samaritan. She was not of the Jews. And she was trying to figure this thing out as to where. What is right? Where is our father said we're supposed to worship in Samaria. You say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus, he brought to her a new thought that it's not so important as to where we worship, but it's important as how we worship and who we worship. And this is a little bit what we want to look at this morning. It says, Jesus said, "There, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. That ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Said, but the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, there I that speak unto thee am he. I think this morning, this teaching of Jesus concerning worshiping the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, it's a very vital part of our relationship with God and how we relate to God. It's that our heart, that we see that in these verses, that Jesus directs the woman's attention from where we ought to worship to how and whom we ought to worship. Worship must be vital and real from within our spirit. It says that we must worship from the spirit that it talks about here. I believe it's talking about the spirit within us. Our worship needs to come from within us. It needs to come from our innermost depths. It needs to come out of our innermost being, our innermost emotions and feelings, and our innermost affections. She must be involved in our relationship with God, in our worship, and our walk with God. It must come out of our innermost being, which I believe he's talking about here when he talks about worshiping the Father in the Spirit. It's not so important as to where we are, but it's important that it comes out from within our being. It's something that comes out from within us. It must not be, a worship must be a vital and real, real from within our spirit, and it must be based on a true perception of God, which is the truth. So we have the spirit that is within us reaching out to God in praise and adoration and love and affections, and we have the truth, which is the eternal word of God, our knowledge of God, the eternal truths about God. That is the foundation of our worship, is God himself. It is what we know about God. So we see here that it involves the head and it involves the heart. There is the head and the heart must be engaged in our worship. Our worship must focus on that which comes out of our heart in relation to that which we know about God himself. And the Bible talks a lot about it, and knowing. We know God. We know God because of his word, because of his work in our hearts, because of our personal relationship with him. We know God. We know who he is. We know about him. We know that he is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He's always going to be there. He's a God. This is the foundation of our worship. This is the foundation of our salvation. It's the foundation of our life. It's the solidness of our relationship with God. It's that which we know for fact about God. And it's our faith in those facts that gives us peace. It gives us assurance. It gives us our salvation. It's believing in the fact of the facts of God, believing in the truth of God, believing who God is, what he is, and where he is, and believing what he has done for us through Jesus Christ in providing us a gift of salvation, that which is sure, that which is steadfast, that which is forever, eternal in the heavens. That those things of God are the foundation of that is the truth that we must have engaged in our worship experience with God, in our walk with God, in our experience with God. We must worship him. It must have heart. I must have our affections and our love coming out of our heart for God, and it must have a head knowledge of understanding the facts and the truths of God. Worship must engage our emotions. That which comes from our heart is our emotion. It's our inner being. Our emotions are very much involved. Our affections and our love and our passions, our drives from our life come from the inner being of our heart. And this is an important part of our worship to God. It's what motivates and drives us to worship God. It's our love for God, that inner being that's alive and on fire for God, reaching out to God and worshiping and walking with God and praising God and engaging ourselves on the basis of the facts that we know about God. It's that combination of the Spirit and the truth that makes true worship what it needs to be. There is heart worship and there's head worship. It needs to be worked together. Truth or head worship. Truth or head worship without emotion or spirit. In other words, it's possible, the beauty of true worship is the balance of these two. It's the balance of having our heart involved and our head involved. If we just have the head worship without the heart worship involved, it becomes nothing but dead orthodoxy and a church full of unspiritually dead members. We can have all the knowledge about the Bible and have everything correct, everything right, every detail, every I dotted and every T crossed, everything can be correct and proper. But if we don't have the Spirit within us, motivating us and contributing to our worship experience, it will be a dead experience. It is not alive. It is not, there is not the fire of God in it. It is just a head worship in itself is not enough. But if we have the all emotions involved and don't have any knowledge of God and the solidness of His Word in our life, then we have the other side where it's simply an empty frenzy, and it cultivates flaky people who reject the disciplines of biblical principles and spiritual disciplines. So we need the combination of the two, and it seems like in our day we find that churches tend to lean one way or the other, and the challenge to keep that in balance is the challenge that is on my heart this morning, that we have that balance of spirit and in truth in our worship experience, in our walk with God, in our relationship with God, that we have emotions involved, that we have our heart involved and engaged. A church where people are simply trying to do everything correct, trying to do everything proper and right for the sake of being correct can be a very dead church. But where we have the Spirit of God working within and working together with the truth of God's Word, we have a powerful influence. We have a powerful experience. We have the power of God in our life to bring forth glory to God and results that bring glory to God, that make a difference in the world today. But whenever we neglect the truth and the solidness of the Word, and we just have a lot of emotionalism and a lot of hype in our worship to God without the solidness of His Word, we don't have the true worship experience either. So that's my challenge this morning, that we have this balance of our walk with God, that it comes out in a way that brings glory to God and brings forth fruit to eternity. Jonathan Edwards once said, he said, "I should think myself in the way of my duty to raise the affections of my hearers as high as I possibly can, provided they are affected with nothing but the truth." and with affections that are not dischargeable to the nature of what they are affected with. I think he's saying the same thing here, that he would charge his people to be emotional, to be affected spiritually, and to be charged with the life and the anointing of God in our life, as long as it is directed to the truth of God's word, as long as it's focused on the solidness of the foundation of God. Another illustration that I see, that I love, is the thought of our worship experience is that of, like that of a furnace. Our spirit, our heart within is like a furnace. The fuel for the worship, the fuel for that furnace is the truth, the truth of God's word, the truth about God and his heart. And the heat that comes forth from the furnace is the emotions or the effects of that fuel in a furnace. But the important part that sometimes is lacking is the fact that there needs to be a fire there. There needs to be four parts. There needs to be a fire there to make it burn. And that comes from God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit coming in and igniting our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to burn in within us and to allow that fuel to bring forth heat and light and radiate out and make a difference around us. That's what's going to make a difference in our life is when we can spend our time trying to make sure that we have the fuel, the right fuel, the right kind of fuel. We can spend our time making sure that we put it in the furnace in the right way and we can spend all our time, arguing about how it ought to be done. But if we don't have the fire of God come down from heaven and ignite that fire, it's not going to make any difference. There's not going to be any results from it. But that fire has to come from God and come down into our hearts. The Spirit of God coming into our spirit allows the fuel to ignite and to bring forth a flame, which bring forth heat and light and reaches out and touches other people and makes our experience of worship reality with God. And God can bring glory to God and the radiance of that worship can rise up and reach up into heaven and God can be glorified and God can be pleased with a worship that is empowered by the Spirit of God. The power of God, the life of God within us and through us, bringing glory to his name. So that's my challenge this morning. Each one of us, that we experience reality in our life, that we have the presence of God, that we have the Spirit of God, that we have the anointing of God upon our life, that the truth that we stand for, the truth that we worship God about, the truth about God, the solidness of God's truth can be a fire within our being that can radiate and can make a difference in the world around us and can bring glory to God himself. The truth is that vital understanding of our gracious and sovereign God, his work and of redemption for our souls and the eternal truth in his word, our spirit being made alive and on fire by the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God produces a heat of our affections and emotions being turned toward God in great reverence and adoration. That's true worship. That's what true worship is all about, I believe, this morning. And that's my challenge this morning to each one of us and to myself, that we know God. We must know God. We know his, we need to know his heart. We need to know the heart of God to experience God in our our daily walk, that we know His will for our life. We know what His heart is for His people. That we don't carelessly live our lives in haphazard ways and allow our life to be spent in foolishness, but we live our lives in righteousness and peace and following the patterns of Jesus Christ and being an example of Jesus Christ here on the earth. That we know the heart of God and we walk after God and have that passion within our being that rises up to Him. When we think about some of the practical, outworkings of some of these things, you know, whenever when we worship without a good knowledge of God and His will and His work, when it's simply based on emotions and no solidness about it, what does that look like? Many times it's just simply a lot of loud activity, performances and possibly signs and wonders. And there's often a lot of tolerance for sin and worldliness. And also something I've seen many times is simply a reaction against the other side. You know, we are so reactionary. We react against. We come out of a formal setting, then we want to go so far the other way, react against anything that was doctrinal or formal. We don't want anything to do with it, so we throw everything away that we had over there. And then vice versa the other way. If we come out of the liberal setting, then we want to react against everything there and go all the way to the other side. But we need to learn to walk in balance with God in the Spirit and in truth, and bringing glory to God in this beautiful balance that He has designed for us. Those that worship in with a head knowledge and without the balance of the Spirit and life of Jesus within, then we have a system of legalism and formalism and traditionalism, powerless. Many times people are not victorious over sin. There's no power there to live a free and victorious life. There's darkness and oppression and precision, which results in divisions splits and splinters, and we spend our time detailing all the little details of right and wrong and applications, different applications, and arguing over things that don't really contribute to the kingdom of God, and it can become very, very deadly and destructive. But when we have that Spirit and the truth together, walking hand in hand, we have the most beautiful demonstration of a true Spirit that we can, the true worship that we can ever experience, that beautiful balance. That of knowing God, knowing and understanding, knowing the facts of God, knowing His, having that foundation in our life. It is, I think of that song we sing, how firm a foundation. It is such a beautiful foundation to have that knowledge of the Scriptures, to have that knowledge. Many of us were brought up with the Bible in our homes, and we were taught in the home and in the school about the Word of God and the truths of God, about the creation and about the fall of man and the provisions of God, about Jesus and the salvation provided for us, and all the plan of salvation has been known to many of us for all of our life, and it is a tremendous foundation for our life, the foundation that we can know and experience. We can know the Word of God, we can know the truths of God, and we can experience God in reality. We must have, first of all, we must have that personal encounter with God, which is we must be born again. We must come to God acknowledging our sin, acknowledging that we are not walking with God, acknowledging that we are lost and in the world, and we need to cry out to God for salvation, and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on His Word. Believe the facts about God. Believe on His truth. We need to learn to love His Word and to live our lives, strive to live our lives according to that which we know He wants, what He wants for us. And we'll have a desire to serve Him and to walk with Him and to love people and minister, be involved in ministry. And we should want to share Jesus with those around about us. I believe this is a part of knowing God and the knowledge of God and understanding the sovereignty of God, understanding the power of God, the eternal God, the God that created the universe, the God that created all things, the God that placed us here in the vision and burden that He had, the reason He put us here to worship Him, to glorify Him, and to walk with Him, and to be His, and this is the knowledge of God. I believe that is the solidness of our relationship with Him. But when we have this. When we have this experience and we have the power of God coming into our life, it inspires our affections and emotions, and it affects our inner being, and we become emotional. We are emotional beings. It's intended to be emotional. I believe a Christianity that doesn't have any emotion doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any reality. I believe that there is, it is intended that we will have emotions. It makes us happy. Whenever we know we have peace with God, whenever we know we are walking with God, we are happy people. We are grateful and thankful people. We have a gratitude in our heart towards God. And we have that, if we have that happiness and that gratitude, that thanksgiving in our heart continually, it's gonna radiate from our life. That's a part of the heat that comes forth when the fire of God is burning within us and we are living our lives in the Word, in the solidness of His Word, and the power of the Holy Spirit is radiating from our life. There will be happiness. There will be gratefulness and thankfulness. There will be love radiating from our life. We will love one another. We will love God. We will love our brothers and sisters. We will love the lost. Love will be radiating from our life, I believe. I believe we'll be excited about life. I believe we'll be excited about Jesus Christ. And we'll want to talk to others about Jesus. We'll want to talk about it. We'll want to share about it. Our life will have an outflow. I believe that when we have the outflow of the inflow of God, our life is where we'll make a difference. It will be effective. It will be radiate out to those that we come in contact with, and people will know that there's a difference. The Bible talks about singing and praising. That's a part of the outflow of our life. That's a part of the outflow of our emotions, our experience with God. You know, I believe that our singing should be an emotional experience. I believe it should not be just a dead and dry singing, but I believe that it should, if it comes from our heart, it's going to have some radiance to it. It's going to have joy to it. It's going to have meaning to it. Our singing and praising God, and the Bible talks about lifting up hands and it talks about weeping. I believe our joy and our emotions will sometimes, it will affect us to tears. I believe that it will affect us in many ways. That our when our spirit is alive, when our spirit is on fire, and when the solidness of God's Word is burning in our hearts with the power of His presence and the anointing of God in our life, it will bring forth glory and praise to God. True worship. Again, it will engage the mind in the truth of God and His nature, and it will engage the emotions with great affection, reverence, joy, and peace. The many beautiful, beautiful emotions that can come forth can be a part of our worship experience. The peace of God. You know, we come together this morning. If you don't have peace, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have peace. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. And as we talk about the second coming of Jesus, and we know we're living in the last days, we know that it can't be very long anymore. I remember 40 years ago, many years ago, people talked about Jesus is coming soon. Well, he didn't come yet, but it's closer now than it was then. It's that much closer. And I believe that it behooves us to be excited, to be prepared, to be ready, to be looking, to lift up our heads and be ready and prepared to meet him in the sky. It will be the greatest day ever when we can go to be with him throughout all eternity. But my challenge this morning, if you're here, then you don't have that peace. You don't have that joy in your heart. You don't have that peace in your heart. You're not ready to meet him. You're not ready to meet him. You won't be there. You won't be walking through heaven with him. You won't be there if you don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of Jesus in your heart this morning. And that's my challenge, and it's my challenge to all of us, that we have that fire of God burning in our hearts, that we are ready and waiting and experiencing his rest and peace. And we're excited about our life. We're walking in holiness with him. Another illustration I want to share that contributes to the truth, the solidness of his truth. This illustration I heard years ago when I was a little boy. A preacher talking about this, about faith, facts, and feeling. Faith, facts, and feeling were three men. Faith, facts, and feeling were walking on a wall. You ever try to walk on a wall or walk on a fence? These three men were walking on a wall. And it says, feelings lost his balance and fell off. Faith looked around and faith fell down too. But the facts stayed on the wall. Facts don't change. The facts took a hold of faith and lifted him back up, and pretty soon the feelings came along too. The facts are the solidness of God's word that we always have to turn to in our faith to get ourselves on track. When we fall, if we fail, we need to look to the facts. We need to turn to the facts of God's word. Now, our emotions, they're not that dependable. Sometimes they go down for no reason at all. We can't always depend on our emotions. Whenever our faith is in the facts and we walk with God, sometimes they're high, sometimes they're not as high. They're more of an ebb and flow. They come and they go. They're not always on their high. They have mountaintops and valleys. But our faith can be in the facts. We can walk in a solidness continually. We can go forth continually through the valleys and through the mountains, through every situation of life. As long as we keep our eyes on the facts of God's word, as we keep our focus on him, we keep our focus on the truth. Our focus on the truth, we will carry us through. Yes, the feelings will be there. The emotions are important. They are an important part of our worship experience. They will be there. But they won't always be as high as, they won't always be the same all the time. Sometimes we're not feeling very well. Sometimes our physical can make us not feel well. Or sometimes things happen that we just don't feel the best. And sometimes it just doesn't feel like we're saved sometimes. But we need to turn around and look at the facts. Our faith must be in the facts. We must walk in the truth of God. We must give him glory and keep his truth before us at all times. Because God never changes. God is always the same. God is on the throne from everlasting to everlasting. He's our eternal God. And he is there to save us and to keep us. Provide for us and to lead us along the way. Let's bow our heads and pray again. Father, again, this morning we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you that you're alive and that we can experience you in reality this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that ignites the fire in our life. And I pray that you would ignite that fire in each heart here this morning, that our worship, that our church life, that our experience with you will bring glory to your name. Well, bind our hearts together in love. We commit this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.